in our lives, in so many aspects of our lives, not just because I'm up here, but even in our daily living, if we seek Him. That's a key. That's a key. So what came upon my mind as we were finished up singing is, what is your treasure? Ed, what is your treasure? And I ask you, what is your treasure? Is Jesus my treasure? Scripture tells us where our heart is, there is our treasure. And I know it's so easy as we leave and part from here, as we get fed the Word of God, it's upon our minds and our hearts. And as we go through the course of the week, I know how easy it is for that treasure to change. The message today has 3 points. I'll give them to you in one word. The first point's love. I wonder why we were singing all that we were singing, the love of God, and can it be that, oh my God, should die for me? And the second point is alertness. The third point is light. Our text, Romans 13, 8 through 14. Our first point is found in the first 3 verses, 8 through 10. It's being indebted to love all of our neighbors. That's point number one. Let me read those verses to you. Follow along with me or listen carefully. For this is, thus saith the Lord. What I want to share with you today, I have a lot of scripture. It's God's word. He says here in Romans, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor. I'm sure we're well familiar with this scripture. But I want us to key in on the very first word of our text. In verse 8, we are told to owe no one except to love one another. To owe is to be obligated to be bound to be indebted to pay. God is telling us here in His Scripture, owe no one anything except to love them. Scripture goes on and explains what this love is. We can go to Galatians. There's many places in the Bible that can tell us. But the place I want to take us to is Galatians 5, 13 and 14. And I was using my Greek Amplified Bible as I was studying, so I'm going to be reading that from my Greek Amplified. What that does is, just like what it says, it amplifies words. It gives you more of a description and a picture of what some of the words are in that text. God says in Galatians 5, 13, 14 about to owing love. He says, for you, brethren, were indeed called to freedom. Only do not let your freedom be an incentive to your flesh and an opportunity or an excuse for selfishness. But through love, you should serve one another. For the whole law concerning human relationships is compiled within one precept. You shall love your neighbor as you do yourself. This is a quote from Leviticus 19, verse 18. Scripture tells us a lot more about this love. As a matter of fact, I went to Matthew's Gospel, the Sermon on the Mount, to hear what our Lord Jesus Christ had to say. In chapter 5, verses 43 through 48, and again, I'm reading in my Amplified Bible. Verse 48, you have heard, Jesus is going to quote that same law from Deuteronomy. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, to show that you are the children of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the wicked and on the good, and he makes the rain fall upon the upright and the evildoers alike. Verse 46. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brethren, what more than others are you doing? Do not even the Gentiles, the heathens, do that? Verse 48. You therefore, Jesus is speaking to us, you therefore must be perfect. He's talking about growing in our maturity, growing in completeness and maturity of godliness in our mind and in our character, as your heavenly Father is perfect. We as followers of our Lord Jesus Christ are told by him, we are to love all our neighbors, even though they may mistreat us, abuse us, falsely accuse us, show no love towards us. Love all, even our enemies. Point number one, we are to be indebted to love all our neighbors. Verse 10 in our text says, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. What does this country, what does this world need most? God's agape love. And he wants to show that love to the world through who? Through us. Just as Jesus did when he walked on this earth, when they falsely accused him and mocked him, he didn't rebel and fight against them. He committed them to his Father who judges justly. The love of God should be at the core of our hearts. God's love, that agape love, Pastor Jeff has spoken about this in the past. He's even explained it in the Greek. And I have a Vines Complete Expository Dictionary. I use it as a tool. It explains some of the Old Testament, New Testament words. So I looked at this word, agape. Agape, the noun form in agapeo, is the verb form of love that we find in the New Testament. They're used in the New Testament to describe several things. First of all, the love of God towards his Son. Second, love towards all the people of this world, for God so loved the world. Third, love towards believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fourth, to convey his will to his children concerning their love one to another. And just as we heard in the Sermon on the Mount, love towards our enemies. Sixth, it also to express the essential nature of God. The essential nature of God. God is love. 1 John tells us God is love. Agape love can be known only from the actions it promotes. Did you hear that? Agape love can only be known from the action it promotes. God is seen in the gift of his Son to the world. Agape love obviously is not the love of complacency, self-satisfaction, affection, feelings of fondness, friendliness, attraction. That is, it is not drawn out by any excellency in a person or an object. You understand? It is the exercise of the divine will and the deliberate choice which lies in the very nature of God himself. God is love. When we were not lovable, we were God's enemies. Yet the Bible tells us in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his agape love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. we sing the love of God. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, our God, should die for us? I want to share with you what came across my mind yesterday. I was sitting outside doing study. It was a beautiful day. As I was continuing to study, Pastor Jeff has been preaching on Peter for some time. And I think what I want to share with you is a byproduct of what I've been hearing coming through Pastor by the Holy Spirit. And also I was doing some other reading, and I read an article by T.A. McMahon on John chapter 21. Remember Peter and Jesus' conversation in that chapter 21, it's 15 through 17. After Christ's resurrection, when Jesus was on the beach and the disciples were out there fishing, I want us to go, though, to after they had eaten, okay? Jesus three times asked Peter, "Do you love me?" And Peter answered three times, he said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Do you remember Jesus' comments to Jesus after each of Peter's affirmation to Jesus that he loves him? Do you remember? I'll tell you. The first comment after Peter said that, he said, "Feed my lambs." The second time, he said, "Feed my sheep." And the third time, "Feed my sheep." That jumped out at me. Agape love has a strong connection with obedience. You see that? You see that in that text? Jesus, in fact, was saying to Peter, "If you truly love me, Peter, then you will feed my sheep." Talk is cheap. We have seen and heard through Pastor's sermon that Peter indeed truly loved Jesus because he committed his life to feeding Jesus' lambs, his sheep. He fed them with the bread of life. Literally, he fed them with Jesus. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Jesus, who is the Word put on flesh, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Peter fed Jesus' sheep with Jesus until he died a martyr's death. To live as Christ and to die as gain. How many times some of us throw out the phrase, "I love you, love you," as an endearing thing to say to a husband to a wife to a husband, or parent to their children, vice versa, and to dear friends, but do little to or nothing to support the words. How many times have you read in the Bible when Jesus was speaking to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my words"? Listen. Christian love is to have God as the primary person of love. At the center of our hearts, what is your treasure? What is my treasure? And express itself in action, in implicit, faithful, loving obedience to God's commandments. If our self-will, self-pleasure, if self is on the throne, is at the center of my heart, I will negate, I will cancel, I will disavow the true love of God to my neighbors and to all those around me. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Romans 13:10. What does God's agape love towards our neighbor look like? Well, let's turn to the scriptures to tell us. If you turn back one chapter in Romans chapter 12, follow along with me, verses 9 through 21. God's agape love. This is what's supposed to come out from us to those that we meet along our way. "Let love," God's agape love, "be without hypocrisy," no pretense. "Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor and giving preference." In Philippians it says, "Put the interests of others before yourself." Verse 11, not lagging in diligence. Being steadfast is what it's meaning. Pastors talk to us about that. Being steadfast, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfast in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. There it is again, our enemies. Bless and not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. And weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends upon you, live peaceably with all men. It's telling us, if it is possible with us, our obligation is to live peaceably. There are going to be those who won't. Verse 19, beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Deuteronomy 32, 35. Therefore, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you. This is from Proverbs 25, 21 through 22. Do not be overcome with evil. There's evil in the world. We know it. He's telling us, don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. And I add, overcome evil with agape love. This is true. I know this to be true. I've, out of faithful, loving obedience through my life, have had people who would say things about me that weren't true. I worked with them. And I would hear these things constantly. And he would even say them to my face. And I remember the Lord bringing me to this passage, not to take vengeance on my own. I will repay. You pay him kindness. Don't overcome evil with evil, but overcome evil with good. Well, what do I do, Lord? A person would call me up, ask me, hey, can you do this for me? Can you? Holy Spirit says, do it. Over a period of months, I would listen to the Holy Spirit. Whatever it was, I would do for this person. And one time, I get a phone call 3-4 months later, and he said, Ed, forgive me. Wow. God is good. And just seeing how his love was flowing through me, touching this person's life, convicting them. But the enemy wanted me to lash out and to call him names so that my testimony would be tarnished. Beware. The enemy is out there. He doesn't want us to allow that love and that truth to flow through us. You see nothing in those verses about self. I see nothing there about self. It's all about others and our Lord. Love conquers all. So how can a child of God love our neighbors with God's agape love? We're going to see that answer in our text. Point number one, we are indebted to love all our neighbors. Point number two, we are to be alert. Romans 12, back to our text. I should say Romans 13, verses 11 through 12, the first part, it says, and do this, knowing the time, that now is high time to awake. Wake up, Christians. Awake out of sleep. Spiritual lethargy. For now your salvation is nearer than when you first believed. And the night is far spent and the day is at hand. This verse is a call to us as believers to be sober-minded and to be careful that you do not fall into slothfulness, indifference to the salvation that is ours in Christ, and miss that calling. The end of our race and our Lord's return is getting closer. The Bible talks much about our minds being spiritually alert, being sober-minded in the times that we live. You've heard this verse from pastor, even myself. I share it a lot. Romans 12, 2. Don't be conformed to this world. He's speaking to Christians. If it wasn't possible, he wouldn't have said it. Beware. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of the mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God doesn't want to leave us ignorant here. He gives us what he wants us to know. And that which he doesn't tell us, he says, trust me, for without faith it's impossible to please God. But those things that he wants us to know, they're here. They're here for our instructions. Are you reading it? Am I reading it? In Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, you know this. I'll read this from my Amplified. All scripture of God is God-breathed, given by the inspiration. It's profitable for instruction, just like I said, reproof, conviction of sin, for correction of error, and discipline and obedience, and for training in righteousness and holy living, and conformity to God's will and thought and purpose and action. Verse 17, so that the man or woman of God may be complete, proficient, well-fitted, and thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see, brothers and sisters, if you're not in the Word of God, how are you renewing your mind? What's going into your minds? It's the message of the world. You are being conformed, believe it or not. You are. If you don't believe it, you're calling God a liar. Remember, whoops, wrong page. Ephesians 5, one more scripture to share with you in regards to what does this love look like? Or I should say, having a mind alert. Ephesians 5, verse 11. So then, take no part in and have no fellowship with the fruitless desires, or deeds and enterprises of this world, of this darkness. But instead, let your lives be as of light, to expose, to reprove, and to convict them. Again, God wants to use us. He wants that love and that truth to flow through us. I once was just like them, blinded, shackled to sin. I didn't know until someone came across my path. Therefore, God says, awake. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall shine, make day dawn upon you, and give you light. This is from Isaiah 26, 19. Verse 15, look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully, worthily, and accurately, not as unwise and witless, but as wise. You know why? Because you have spent time with the Lord in His Word, making the very most of the time. We sang about that in that one song, to live is Christ, to die is gain. He purposes the place where we live. He gives us that boundaries, and he purposes the time that we would be his witnesses in that particular place and time. Verse 17, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of God is. Understand. How are you going to understand the will of God? I've heard people throughout the years as Christians who ask, how do you know the will of God? It's not a mystery. It's not a mystery. You have it right here before us. Verse 18, it says, and do not be drunk with wine. This is the world's enticements that will cloud your mind. It'll take your eyes off of Jesus, in which is dissipation. It's the overindulgence of the things of this world. They might not look like they're sinful on the outside, but what happens is they become a treasure within you, and they dethrone Christ. They become an idol. But be filled with the Spirit. This passage that I'm going to share with you next has been one that has... There's many, but it's been so dear to my heart. It's John 6:63. After Jesus had fed the 5,000, and he talked about them, that he was the bread of life that came down from heaven. And after he gave them that discourse, many of them left him. He said his words were too difficult. And he said this to his disciples. It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. The bread of life. As the body needs bread to sustain it, the soul needs the bread of life to sustain it. And he even turned to his disciples after he said that. And he said, "You want to leave me too?" You know what Peter said? "Lord, where do we go? For you alone have the words of life." You want life, true life, abundantly? Not as the world gives, but as Jesus gives. It's before each and every one of us. No one will have an excuse. No one. There is a battle for our minds, brothers and sisters. Our enemy, Satan, as I said, will do anything and everything to keep you from being as a kingdom citizen of light. He will allure you with the cares and desires, the entertainments of this world, or he will pervert the truth to try to lead you astray as children of God. God doesn't want us to be ignorant of how he wants us to live here. There's no excuse. It's there before us. He wants us to know and to be alert and sober-minded, living as his kingdom citizens in the time and the place where he has us to bear the light, to be fruit-bearing for his kingdom. There's souls out there that are bound in darkness just like we once were. To be bearing fruit for the kingdom while we watch and look for the return of our Lord. We need to be sober-minded, brothers and sisters, understanding the times in which we live. A lot of things going on. Scripture tells us about this, how we are to be sober-minded about the times we live in. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through chapter 5, verse 2. "We would have you not ignorant." See here again? Know the truth of God's word about this, about the times we live in. These brothers and sisters were going through difficult times then. People were saying things that were causing them to be misguided. And it goes on, it says, "Brethren, about those who have fallen asleep in death, that you may not be grieved for them as the rest do, who have no hope beyond the grave." Verse 14, "For since we believe Jesus died and rose again, even so God will also bring with him through Jesus those who have fallen asleep in death." Verse 15, "For this we declare to you by the Lord's own word, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall in no way proceed into his presence or have any advantage at all over those who have previously fallen asleep in him in death." Verse 16, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a loud cry of summons, with the shout of an archangel, and with the blast of the trumpet of God, and those who have departed this life in Christ will rise first." Verse 17, "Then we, the living ones who remain on the earth, will simultaneously be caught up along with the resurrected dead in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so, always, through eternity of eternities, we shall be with the Lord." Verse 18, "Therefore, comfort and encourage one another with these words. But as to the suitable times," listen to this, this is in chapter 5, verse 1, "but as to the suitable times and the precise seasons and dates, brethren, you have no necessity for anything being written to you." Verse 2 of chapter 5. "For you yourselves know perfectly well that the day of the Lord, Jesus' second coming, will come as a thief in the night." You see, as we live in this place, in the place we live, in the times, we are to be his witnesses. We are to be about our Father's business. And we are to be anticipating and looking for that return. What does Scripture tells us? It told the believers back then, and it tells us the same thing. 2 Peter 3 tells us this about that. "Beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, One day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Jesus died, was buried, resurrected, and ascended to heaven 2,000 years ago. That's a long time. But do you hear what Scripture is saying? Let me read it to you again. That with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Those 2,000 years to us is a long time, but to the Lord, it's a day. See, God is not restricted to time and space like we are. Let's go on. So with Him, it's like a day. The Lord is not slacking concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering. Listen to this. Why is He long-suffering towards us? You wonder why the Lord hasn't come yet? I think here's an answer right here. One of the answers probably. Long-suffering towards us. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There's souls out there yet to be won. He's called you and me to be used by Him to reach those souls. If we won't allow Him, He'll find somebody else to. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away in the great noise, and the elements will melt in the fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it, and will be burned up. It's going to be laid bare. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Okay? Looking for and hastening the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to God's promise, look for the new heavens, the new earth, in which righteousness dwells. This is not our home, brothers and sisters. If you listen to the world, it's going to want you to put your roots down here. No, we're pilgrims. We're aliens. We are traveling to a homeland that is not made by human hands. It's of God. A new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells, where there is no more war, where there is no more death, where there is no more hating and no more sin. Isn't that what we're all longing for? The only way is through Jesus. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things. Do you look forward to those things? Do I? Be diligent to be found in Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering, here it is again, the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation. Salvation for souls. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. As also in all the epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which those, speaking now of false teachers, this is why we're to be alert and sober-minded, which those who are untaught, unstable, twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know, how are you going to know? You've got to be in the Word, these things beforehand. Beware. The enemy is a roaring lion. Beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness. If it wasn't possible, this wouldn't be in the Scriptures. There's warnings there, brothers and sisters. Heed them. Heed them. To grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And let me just pursue. I'm just sharing with you. This is Scripture. This is Scripture. And I just see how it unfolds from the different epistles. And I just put them in an order that the Holy Spirit has put upon my heart to share with you. And the Spirit told me to share this right after this. We see this about the Lord's coming. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5, I'm back there on verse 4, but you are not in darkness, brethren, for that day. See, we're not of the darkness. We're of the light. That day is referring to the day of the Lord. If you have become indifferent, wait a minute, got my pages upside down. Okay, let me go back to, so I get this straight now. First Thessalonians, but you are not in darkness, brethren, for that day, the day of the Lord's second coming, to overtake you by surprise like a thief. See, God doesn't want to leave us ignorant. He's telling us all of these things. For you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We do not belong either to the night or to the darkness. Accordingly, then, let us not sleep. You see that? Don't fall into that slumber as the rest do, but let us keep wide awake, alert, watchful, and being on guard. I'm just adding these in there. These are adjectives that we need to do. And let us be sober. There it is again. We have a clear mind. Verse 7. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk, get drunk at night. Verse 8. But we belong to the day, brothers and sisters. Therefore, listen, let us be sober, be alert, and put on the breastplate of faith and love. The breastplate. Here's the armor again. Police officers have to put on a vest, a bulletproof vest. It protects the heart of the inner man. So it says, put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the armor again, the helmet protects the mind, the hope of our salvation. So you see there, you see these three words that pop out. I see it there. The breastplate of faith, love, and the helmet of hope. Faith, hope, and love. Where have we heard that before? Well, if you don't remember, 1 Corinthians 13:13, it's the love chapter. Brings us back to our first point. Okay, let me read that to you. And so faith, hope, love, abide in these. Abide in these. Faith, for without faith it's impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder to those who diligently seek him. Be diligent to rightly approve the word of God. Faith is man's relationship to God and to the things above. Hope, joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation. Love is the true affection for God in man, growing out of God's love for and in us. These three. But what is the greatest? The greatest is love, the agape love. It conquers all. As the citizens of the kingdom of light, we are to be sober-minded, brothers and sisters. We are to be alert. We're to wake up out of our sleepiness of spiritual things and put the Word of God in our minds, that the truth of God's Word would lead us and guide us and direct us so that we are not deceived about any of the things that would come about our way that would try to cause us to go off that narrow path. We need to get back to the text now. Let me get back to our Romans, and I'll finish up this third point. So we see, we are to be indebted to love all our neighbors. We are to be alert, awake. And third, we are to be the light of this world. Romans 13, 12 through 14, it says, therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk decently as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in licentiousness and lewdness, not in strife and envy, verse 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Did you hear that? Citizens of the kingdom of light, we are called to live in this present world of darkness, not to be conformed to it, but we would reflect Christ's love to those who are enslaved into darkness, in hopes that they would escape the snare that the devil hasn't ensnared them to. We're to be sober-minded so that we're not indifferent to the love that God has shown to us. Brothers and sisters, we don't want the enemy to take our focus off of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the perfecter of our faith, and to lose the sight of our race. If you have become indifferent, I tell you, awake now and return to your first love, Jesus, and do the following that it says here in Romans 12 to 14. And if you haven't lost sight and Jesus is the treasure of your heart, then I say continue in doing these things. Let's look at these things in verse 12 to 14. There's four there. Verse 12, it says, let us cast off the works of darkness. What is in this world's ways or the material things or or entertainments that causes you to take your eyes off of Jesus. I say that because I know in my life what it is. You need to know yourselves. You need to be on guard what the devil is going to try to do to cause you to deviate from that narrow path, and that it'll weigh you down, and that it hinders you to run that race. So, as the Bible tells us to examine our faith, we need to do that. Verse 12, there's another part there. It says, let us put on the armor of light. So we see to cast off the darkness. It's the putting off, and now the putting on of the armor of light. As we sing, are we surrendering our all to God so that He's conforming us into the image of His Son, that we could be that light and love to this world? This message that you're hearing is not new, but we need to hear it. The Bible tells us, I know you know these things, but I need to remind you. Verse 13, the third thing, let us walk properly. Are we walking in the Spirit so that the evil passions of our flesh is being crucified? Another way of posing that question is, am I living for myself or for Christ? To live is Christ, to die is gain. We sang that. Verse 14, the fourth thing. Let us put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. The only way to put on Christ is for our flesh to become dead. We need to go to our funeral, to die to self, to be resurrected in the newness of the Spirit of life in Christ, so that His love and His truth could be manifested in us, that we could be those living temples of God. Romans 12, 1. And I'm going to close with this passage of Scripture here. It confirms these 3 points and what we just read here in Romans. If you turn to Colossians, chapter 3. Colossians 3, verse 1. Let us hear what the Word of God says to us. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, which where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Verse 2, what does it say there? Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members, those fleshly lusts and desires, which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you also once walked. Don't go back to the mud. How many times has Pastor been telling us that? In which you also once walked when you lived in them. But now you must put off all these anger and wrath and malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in, there again, back to our mind, in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies and kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. Here's love. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. Here, verse 14. You see this? But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. That's our calling, brothers and sisters. 16. Here's the answer on how we do this. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing. You see, in this passage here, it confirms those 3 points. Verses 1 and 2, it tells us to set our minds on the things above. That's being alert, sober-minded. Wake up. That's point number 2. Verses 3 through 10 is our point number 3, being the light. We are to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice that the life of Christ would be radiated from us. And verses 12 through 14 is our point number one. Most important of all, put on love. Put on love. Be indebted to owe everyone. Love. And in verse 16 tells us how. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. That's how. Jesus is the word. As I abide, take in the word of God, which is spirit. The very life of Jesus, his mind and his love and his light are in me. Those who surrender their hearts to Christ and set their minds on Christ and live according to the Spirit of God, God who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to our mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in us. For as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. You see that? How do we do this? It's abiding in him. Abide in him and he will abide in us. That's John's gospel, chapter 15, I believe. He talks about, I am the vine and you are the branches. If a branch wouldn't abide in that vine, if we break it off, what will happen is those leaves and that fruit will wither and die. We need to abide in him. And his life and his love, his truths will flow through us so that the world will see him who desperately need to see him. Let me close in prayer now. Father, I believe your word has gone forth. And my prayer for all of us, myself included, as James tells us in his epistle, that as we hear your word, I pray that we would be faithful hearers and doers of your word, that we wouldn't leave this place forgetting these truths, that we, O Holy Spirit, by your power that is within us, we beg you and ask you to remind us throughout this course of this week to bring us to these texts, to these words, thus saith the Lord. Keep us from stumbling, Lord, we pray, and present us faultless in the presence of the Father, all for your glory. And Lord, we pray that we would be fruit bearers, that we would be used by you to reach others, whether they be family members who are bound in darkness, neighbors, co-workers, or someone that we just pass in the course of a day, Lord. We just ask that, Father, that we would be found faithful, that we would be ready, grant us the compassion to reach the lost, and grant us the boldness to be unashamed, to speak the truth in season and out of season for your glory and for the sake of others, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we got communion. Again, this is love. Let me turn this off.